Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Taylor Quimby, in for Virginia Prescott. A clip there from the Battle Hymn of the Republic, the famous Union Civil War song written by Julia Ward Howe. Howe is an incredibly accomplished woman, a suffragette, writer, and activist, and if you're interested in learning more about her, I might suggest an extensive biography written by her two daughters, who, coincidentally, were the first authors to win the Pulitzer Prize for biography way back in 1917. As this prestigious award prepares to celebrate its 100th birthday, we thought this one story is worth digging out of the history bin and bringing back into the spotlight. Meg Heckman is a reporter and teaches at the University of New Hampshire. She wrote about the unlikely sisters who became the first winners of the Pulitzer for Pulitzer.org. And Meg, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
So 1917, not exactly a time when women were holding a very prominent place in the publishing industry. Was this a pretty remarkable choice for the first Pulitzer?
It was in a lot of ways. It was a biography about a woman, written by women, and they were doing it at a time when it was rare for women to have much of a role at all in civic life or artistic life. So it was really, really quite impressive what they accomplished.
Right. This is before the vote.
It was. Yeah. A couple years.
So these two sisters, Laura Elizabeth Richards and Maud Howe Elliott, they're writing about their mother. Now, tell me a little bit about their mother. Was she a good subject for biography?
I think so. If anything, and I think as writers and storytellers, we've all run into this, somebody who has done so much, it is simply impossible to include it all in a single volume. And they didn't. It sprawled out over two volumes.
Oh,
and
boy.
Even then, they had to leave a lot of stuff out. And some of that they left out for narrative reasons. And some of that they left out for public relations reasons. And it was really interesting to watch the book take shape. One sister was in Newport, Rhode Island, and the other sister was in Gardner, Maine. And they edited the book and swapped drafts by letters. And most of those letters are on file at a public library in Maine. And so there was all of the squabbling and hair pulling that goes with the writing process with all of these family dynamics overlaid on top of it.
Yeah, I love some of these letters that you put in your article. They're talking about tone. They're talking about when to maybe reveal that personal connection, to actually refer to their mother as mother. And it's funny because the letters themselves are written with such beautiful literary fashion.
Yeah, absolutely. The letters were both very old-fashioned and very modern at the same time. And in the middle of these very high-level debates about the structure of this biography and how important and how long the suffrage chapter should be versus the abolitionist chapter, there were these little side notes thrown in about going off to summer camp with the kids, or how is so-and-so's health, and these references to other siblings and other family members who were clearly trying to weigh in on this book. And the sisters were really trying to maintain as much objectivity as possible when writing about one's own mother.
Right. Not easy to do. So how was the Pulitzer chosen back then in 1917? Was it the same as it is today?
As far as I know, it was a jury system. That said, it was the first year of the prizes. So it is unclear, at least from my research, who nominated the book. And there wasn't a whole lot in the jury's files. So Pulitzer juror deliberations are secret until a future date afterwards. And so I was able to see some of the jurors' notes. But really what they reflected was the excitement and confusion of creating a brand new literary prize, more so than anything about this particular book. But it is notable that the call for entries listed the names of famous men. And I think it's really significant that it was a biography about a woman who won this. And I think that says a lot about the clout that she really had in her time.
And maybe, too, about the, I mean, we don't know much about them, but the jury that selected this book, you don't get any sense from what you've read that there was somebody was like, hey, we should do this. This is an important book. This is an important person. And we're going to make an important statement if we nominate this book.
Yeah, I don't know. And I kind of hoped when I went out in my reporting that I was going to find that. And actually, that's what I expected to find. I didn't expect to find this amazing behind the scenes back and forth between the sisters about the creation of the book itself. So I'll take that, I guess.
Yeah. So how did the critics respond to the book and the decision to award it the Pulitzer?
Well, I couldn't find anything immediately after the Pulitzer was awarded. And again, it was very, very early in the Pulitzer's existence. So it's hard to know if people really understood what it was. I found some evidence that the authors themselves didn't fully understand what it was, although they were psyched about the prize money.
Oh, sure.
In some critical works about American biography, the book kind of got dissed in what I found was I got offended reading what some of the critics said about the book, and they were really dismissive of it, saying, we don't understand why this book was ever awarded the Pulitzer. It wasn't very hard to write at all. And in truth, the book was incredibly difficult to write for all of the reasons that we talked about, plus reasons of geography, plus these two women were still responsible for a lot of their domestic lives, too. So Richards, who was in Gardner, Maine, she had six kids and, in addition to writing this book, was running a children's literary empire and was really paying the bills. She bought this big fancy house that they owned. As her great-grandson told me, it was very unseemly for a woman in that time to be doing that sort of thing. And she did it anyway. And so I think the challenges that these women faced as historians and as authors and also as women doing all of that at that time really was not appropriately recognized. And then in a lot of the historical record, neither woman was really associated with the prize at all until fairly recently.
Does it feel good to maybe have a chance to correct the record a little bit and bring their story into the spotlight?
Yeah, it was really great. I got, I always get excited when I go off on reporting a new story, and reporting this one was particularly great because I got to go off to a corner of Maine I'd never been in before, and I met this wonderful librarian who knew everything about the sisters and was able to pull out all of these, boxes of letters, and I got to go see the house where she worked and Julia Ward Howe's desk, and it was really, really amazing. And then when I got back home and started writing, yeah, I did feel really good that their story and the contribution that they made to understanding this part of American history, and also the honor that they were given in winning the first Pulitzer for biography, that was going to finally be more public. And I mean, there are other people who have written about the Pulitzer and about particularly the sister who was not in Maine, Elliot, but it felt really good.
Well, thank you so much for sharing their story with us.
Thank you.
Meg Heckman is a teacher and reporter. She lectures at University of New Hampshire. She recently wrote an article for thepulitzer.org, and you can find a link at wordofmouthradio.org.